shirts and faded denim, tumbling round and round. Last of my changes, when it stops, they're done. If they're still damp and it's done spinning, I'll roll my windows down and leave it to the breeze and to the sun. I haven't found a way to part with living lease to lease, someone else's stuff lying around. Another dingy old apartment, dirty dishes in the sink, same old place just in another town. And I still ain't caught that train. Don't know how much longer I can wait. No, I still ain't caught that train. I guess I'm the one who's running late. When I was young, I always reckoned someday I'd get it right. Some days come and gone, passed on by. My dreams run distant second now to my morning days and nights. I feel them go a little at a time. If I finally reach that station, step aboard that train, I know I'll miss all these things somehow. And I still ain't caught that train. Don't know how much longer I can wait. No, I still ain't caught that train. I guess I'm the one who's running late. Step aboard that train, I know that I'll miss all these things somehow. And I still ain't caught that train. Don't know how much longer I can wait. No, I still ain't caught that train. I guess I'm the one who's running late. I'm the one who's running late. Still ain't caught that train. Still ain't caught that train.
Mac Leephart performing for a virtual Roots Down session on WVTF with a song from his new album, Music City Joke, That Train. Mac joining us now. Mac, tell me about that song. Do I sense a tinge of regret in there, or is there something else going on?
You think I'd have my elevator response by this point, wouldn't you? It's a lot, you know, emotionally, I think, there's a lot going on. The gist of it was I wanted to write a, I spent a lot of time in laundromats And for years, you know, because I'd always just moved to a different town, you know, and, you know, found some place to live. And, you know, you just spend a lot of time in laundromats. And I didn't like the laundromat, but I knew there was something about the time in my life where one of my biggest responsibilities was going to the laundromat. You know, that was one of the things in my life that I was like, oh God, I got to go to the laundromat. And I knew that I would look back as much as a pain going to the laundromat was, I knew I would look back at some point and be like, man, there was really good times in my life when the only responsibility I had was going to the laundromat, you know? So yeah, that's kind of there's more to it than that, but that was the idea to sort of get me rolling with, you know, writing the song. And then some stuff came out in the song that I think has to do with a lot more spiritual and emotional type things.
Does it happen in your songwriting that you start off with an idea of where you're going with the song, but the song takes you in a different direction?
I would say that happens sometimes. Sometimes it's exactly what you think it's going to be.
Talking with Mac Leapheart about his new album, Music City Joke. Mac, every song on this album is a gem. And I've always wondered how artists decide the order of songs on a record. And you start off on this one with the song El Paso Kid. And that's a gut punch out of the gate. A friend of mine told me that they like to start their albums with a song like that because it's like, if you can't take this one, you're not going to like the rest of it.
That's a good idea. I've never thought about that. But I actually find El Paso Kid, for me, it's very optimistic. I guess I'm more of a glass half full type of guy because I think Buddy went on to have a great life. I don't know what he did, but, you know, I wanted the listener to, you know, sort of figure it out for themselves. But for me, Buddy just, he went out and he achieved anyway, like Lebowski, you know.
Let's talk history. You started out as a road dog putting in the time and the miles, didn't you?
Yeah, man.
Tell me about those days.
Well, I started my first band when I was still in high school. There was a couple of guys that my brother knew at a little college in Spartanburg, South Carolina called Wofford College. And they had an acoustic duo. And I could kind of play lead guitar a little, you know, enough because neither one of them could play. So I kind of came on as like a guy that could do some licks. And then that turned into a band. And I did that for, I don't know, ended up going to Wofford. And, you know, we did that for all through college. And then I kind of bounced around just bartending and working on my songwriting. I did a brief sabbatical in Los Angeles and came back to Charleston and put together, you know, a bar band. You know, we played bars and we played frat parties and all that. Drove around playing my songs, playing other people's songs, getting paid to, you know, play music. And it was okay, but that's what it was. It was a circle, you know.
Did you ever find at the end of a gig from the bar owner that, hey, dude, your bar tab is more than the guarantee?
I did that with the first band I was in. It happened in Charlotte, North Carolina. At some place, and we were just opening, and you know, it was just like the Blues Brothers thing. You know, you guys made this much, and you drank this much worth of beer. You know, and we're like, oh well, we just looked at it as getting a discount on the beer back then. You know,
and you got to play on top of that, right?
Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, and you moved to Nashville in about 2011. When you got there, did you decide that this is settling down, going to get serious about making records?
Yeah, that was kind of it. You know, I always had a romantic view of Nashville through guys like Guy Clark and Rodney Crowell. And I had this image of real craftsman style songwriters just sitting around drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes, and writing songs. You know, when I came to Nashville, I was writing two or three times a week, you know, doing the co-writing thing, trying to be a part of that sort of Nashville machine. Now I did that for 4 or 5 years, and it just got frustrating because I thought I was writing good songs. They weren't necessarily the songs I might do as an artist, but I thought I was writing the kind of songs that I thought somebody else might cut, a mainstream artist. I worked really hard on them. You know, I wanted the craft to be there no matter what kind of song it was, but I got frustrated because I couldn't figure out how to get them into people's hands. So, you know, you spend all that time writing songs and they just don't really go anywhere. And that's when I kind of started focusing on the artist thing again and decided I was going to make my own record. Nashville is a great place. I mean, it's a lot of fun, but you also kind of figure out how to take music seriously because a lot of people are. So when I was living in Charleston, playing in bands, everybody I was hanging out with, nobody was really doing it the right way. So you didn't really have a guide. And in Nashville, you know, you're hanging out with somebody, you're like, man, that guy sure is doing well. I wonder what he did. You kind of figure it out, and then you can just sort of do what everybody else does. There's a, in terms of promotion, figuring out how to get your music out there.
Well, you certainly got it out there. That's a good thing. It's Mack Leephart. His new album, Music City Joke. Let's hear you perform another song off this record. One of the less serious selections, and probably my favorite, Ballad of Bob Yamaha, or A Simple Plea in C Major.
Let me just say a couple of things. One, I wasn't trying to say that Yamahas were not good guitars. First of all, I had the line, I come from Japan, but don't speak Japanese, so I needed a Japanese guitar company. And secondly, Yamaha was just, when I was growing up, if your uncle or somebody's dad or something had a guitar sitting around that didn't get played, it was often a Yamaha. So that was just, I definitely wasn't trying to say, oh, Yamahas are terrible guitars. I think there's some great Yamahas out there. I've played them. My friend Danielle Howell has a great Yamaha. And yeah, and I love Bob Seger too. It's just the idea of some old dude, you know, just drinking old Milwaukee all night, just trying to get those licks on night moves, you know?
Oh my God. That's exactly it. That's why it's so on point. So I think we should hear that one.
All right.
Mack Leephart performing in a virtual Roostown session here on WVTF.
Well, I come from Japan, but I don't speak Japanese. Made my way to the States back in the 70s. First fella had me got bored pretty fast, so he sold me quick for some cash and a case of beer. Next fella had me, all he played was Bob Seger, and when I say that's all he played, I ain't kidding either. Mostly, he just played one song. Sometimes he played it all night long if he really hit the booze. Whew. Working on those night moves, man. Well, I'm just an old guitar. Nobody's ever played too good. Just lean me up against the wall. Learn a few chords and that's all. Yeah, and I don't get my strings changed as often as I should, cause I'm just an old guitar. Nobody's ever played too good. Well, then I seen a few other owners, a whole lot of my case. Some chick picked me up during that Lilith Fair craze. She didn't stick with it. Guess it was just a phase. She shoved me under her bed. I met a little sister when Taylor Swift come along. She wanted to write her own songs. Sounded kind of like Taylor Swift songs. Man, they were a lot worse though. This is my buddy. He's a harmonica. He's never been played worth it either. Hey! Well, I know I ain't top of the line. D28, J45, but just one time I'd like to wind up in some capable hands. And I ain't talking Tony Rice or Doc Watson. The toughest thing I've ever gotten is Neil Young.
needle in the damage done. I wouldn't go so far as to call that song easy. No, it ain't easy, but it ain't all that hard. But I'm just an old guitar nobody's ever played too good. I just lean me up against the wall, learn a few chords and that's all. Yeah, and I don't get my strings changed as often as I should, cause I'm just an old guitar nobody's ever played too good. I'm just an old guitar nobody's ever played too good.
Rootsdown Radio Sessions recorded live. Search Rootsdown at WVTF.org.
Don't put the blame on the bottle. Well, the last time I'd seen him, couldn't even recall when I bumped into him coming down the hall of the county clerk's office. It's time to pay my taxes again. I said, it's been a long time, man. Let's get us a beer. He smiled, shook his head, and said, I quit drinking last year. I said, okay. How about a Coca-Cola then? Yeah, so we got us a Coke. Then he said he'd been born again, baptized. He got his soul clean. Liquor was evil, and it was poisoning me. Okay. And man, I know you're just trying to be a good friend. There's only one judge for me. And brother, you ain't him. So I take my chances each time that I take a drink. And don't put the blame on the bottle. Now that you got yourself dry, you're needing someone or something to call the bad guy. Too fast and too many, too much for way too long. Don't put the blame on the bottle. Yeah, that whiskey don't pour on its own. Sure don't. Well, he didn't like what I had to say too much. Just shook my hand. Wished me good luck. He left that Coca-Cola half empty. And he left me where I stood. Then my mind moved to cold beer on the beach. Screen porch sunset and a little bird beneath. And a few more fine visions and some memories. Times that were good. Too much of a good thing ain't no good at all. And that goes for all things, especially alcohol. I've had too much too often. And I ain't proud of some things that I've done. But I don't put the blame on the bottle for all of those things I've done wrong. What's done is done now, and I did what I did me alone. Too fast and too many, too much for way too long. But I don't put the blame on the bottle, cause that whiskey don't pour on its own. That tequila don't either. No, I don't put the blame on the bottle, cause that whiskey don't pour on its own.